Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number one. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dustin, even before we get started with any Penn State football talk, first off, a shout out to our buddy Ben in Florida, who spent the past week letting us know how old we are.
It's always appreciated. And I suspect the further we go and the deeper we get, the older I get, the more I'm going to appreciate that. But we did have some good banter back and forth with sort of old man-isms, those stereotypes. And it's nice to be in the club, whatever that club is.
Well, you hit that 40-year-old milestone, Dusty. Let me just tell you, it's all downhill from here. Although, as Ben pointed out, he thinks you're the bee's knees. All right, let's... Good for Ben. All right, let's talk some Penn State football. And we got a couple unusual January commitments. How about that? Most recently from Cooper Cousins. No, it's not a 22 commitment. No, it's not a 23 commitment. It's a 24 commitment, which means Cooper Cousins is, what, a sophomore right now. Offensive lineman, 6'5", 285 pounds. And as a sophomore, I guess that means he has some room to grow yet, right?
Yeah, that'll be the interesting thing as far as where he goes with his height and his weight. To be right there right now, you know, at 6'5", 285, that's a little bit on the lanky side for a kid. So he's going to have an opportunity. That 6'5" could grow, you know, depending on what his family genetics look like. But also that 285, if he starts to get more serious and starts to add a little bit of, you know, you got to remember that he's probably, what, 16 years old right now, weighing 285. As he adds a little bit of natural muscle, as he grows a little bit, his bones grow, hits the weight room a little bit harder, you could definitely see this kid being that 6'6", 315-pound kid by the time he's ready to leave high school. And, you know, I believe it's McDowell High School in Erie he goes to. No star rating or anything just yet, but, you know, just the early makings of what you see on the film from him and the frame and the way he moves, and it seems like the Penn State staff is excited about him. Pretty nice little building block, it looks like, to start the 24 class, the very first commit so far.
And, Dustin, you said he's a lanky 285. I'd say he's probably just a couple cheeseburgers short of three bills, which is nice to see. Yeah, but if he's being pursued by Penn State this early, you got to think pretty good commitment right there and a good start to the 24 season. But taking a step back, had another commitment for the 23 class, and it seems like we're just continuing that theme of offensive linemen committing. Anthony, I hope I pronounced this right, Donko from Virginia. He's 6'5", 310. He's listed as a three-star in the composite ranking. With offensive linemen, I don't go crazy about the star system.
Yeah, I mean, I think each cycle, and this probably goes for a lot of positions, but especially for the O-line, there's a pretty select group that are either those high four-stars or five-stars that are just a cut above everybody else. And then I think there are just shades of how complete their game is and what their ceiling is, and where the intersection is between what their potential is and what they are right now. And I think Anthony Donko falls on that spectrum somewhere. You know, pretty impressive dimensions. Listed as an interior offensive lineman. Sean Fitz from Lions 247 said he's an offensive tackle all the way. And the dimensions support that, 6'5" and 310 pounds. He's still got another year to go yet too in high school in Virginia. He's the third offensive lineman of the class. All of them are from Virginia, just as a little factoid there. But I think every Penn State fan who listens to this podcast, every Penn State fan period, is probably clamoring for some more of those can't miss blue chip guys. But the reality is, You know, how many per cycle are there really? Maybe 10 to 15 nationwide. If you're looking at top 50, top 60 type players along the offensive line, guys who have both potential and are pretty complete right now. Otherwise, there just aren't very many of them. And, you know, I think Penn State's results when it comes to recruiting and signing players like Anthony Danko are kind of mixed. You know, I think some of them are still in the development path somewhere. And I think some have just kind of missed along the way. I think that's probably the story for all offensive linemen, which is why, again, Penn State fans would love to see some more of those Landon Tangwall guys who kind of border on can't miss.
Remember that they already do have in this class a five-star in Alex Birchmeyer. So, you know, it's not like they're completely void of those highly ranked players. And again, because these guys are committing fairly early for their classes, I got to feel that these are the players that Penn State is pursuing with great vigor, okay? And this is now Phil Troutwine putting his stamp on the offensive line, correct?
Yeah, I think getting the prospects that he wants, you know, 2 years in the system so far, there's a bunch of players who he's going to have to count on for the next year or two who he did not start out developing them. So now this is part of that wave now where he's getting to be able to pick and choose and evaluate and have a pretty strong voice in the room whenever Penn State is making their short list of must-take guys. Getting Anthony Danko is another step in that direction. You know, I'm not sure coming off the season that Penn State had how comfortable Penn State fans are saying, let's turn the keys fully over to Phil Troutwine. I think there's still some things that need to be proved about how guys are developing under his watch. But, you know, you like to get these guys in numbers, and already in the class of 23, three offensive linemen out of seven commits total. You know, I think you can do it with high quality guys, and I think you can do it with a quantity approach too, and the early makings are there that maybe Penn State can get a little bit of both. You can get those high quality guys, and you can maybe sign four or five of them in this class and up your odds for finding a couple really good ones.
All right, Dusty, let's switch now to kind of a tough story. It came out over the weekend. Bryce Mostella on his Twitter put out a whole story essentially talking about what has happened to him. It's a name we haven't heard a lot of in the last year or two. This past season, he was listed as a redshirt freshman. And essentially, the short version of the story is he said the team was looking for him to put on weight. He was listed at 230, but as a defensive end, they wanted him to gain weight. He was also 6'6", I believe it is. They wanted him to gain weight. He apparently struggled with that. It led to some tough times, him having some issues with how the coaching staff handled it. He ended up losing weight, said he had some mental issues that came along with this, an eating disorder, said this actually led to a heart condition, and it appeared that it came to a head where the way he puts it, and let's remember there's always two sides to the story, was that the coaching staff essentially ghosted him, wouldn't return his calls or his text messages, and were essentially pushing him to leave the team, whether by transfer or medical retirement. What's your take on all of this?
Well, my first thought was, number one, it's a tough read. He created a thread on Twitter, and he said he just wanted to lay out the facts the way that he saw them, you know, the way that they occurred through his viewpoint. And like you said, the Penn State coaching staff could have a very different version of, you know, the way that they behaved whenever they started to go down this road where Bryce expressed some concerns over mental health. And I felt like he did a pretty good job of just laying out his account of what was going on. The objective being wanted to get his version out there before he didn't really get a chance to do that fairly. And I can appreciate that. I can also appreciate the fact that mental health, especially as it pertains to sports, is still a really, really, really new topic. And it's a really new thing that coaches and support staff have to wrap their heads around. And, you know, where if there are some shades of gray based on Bryce's account of what happened, maybe. But you know, it points to, you know, number one, a linkage between mental health and physical health. And if you're struggling, you know, emotionally or struggling mentally, it's going to be hard to get the most out of your body, especially whenever it's a little bit of a struggle for a really tall, lanky kid like Bryce. And I think a couple weeks ago on the show, I expressed some concern about where his weight was and where he factored into the defensive end mix, because you saw it listed at 230 pounds. Now this adds some layers to that. I hope for people who see it, they can read it objectively and not really brutally attack the coaching staff. I think the biggest crime from my standpoint is if he was kind of expressing this to the coaches and they did just ignore that, or they did just kind of express frustration and just say, figure it out on your own. If they didn't respond to texts, if they didn't respond to calls, which again, we haven't heard from them on this topic. I think that we might, because I think the perception of how Penn State handles situations like this is an important one for them to try to get their version out there. So I do think we'll hear from Penn State at some point in time about this, or just maybe a general view point about mental health. But I think all football coaches should have a pretty substantial presence from support, you know, support staff that help them work through how to deal with mental issues. Because on their front, it sounds like they surely got very frustrated by a definite lack of progress from a player that they expected more from. And they just chalked it up that he wasn't doing the right things, or he lost his love for football. That's his words. But in his viewpoint, you know, he was just really, really struggling mentally, and it was just hard to be the best version of himself. So I think there definitely needs to be people who are independent of a football staff who help these guys. And James Franklin is a new school coach. He's not an old school lunkhead. And I think maybe this expresses that he didn't fully understand or grasp the situation. I think he and all football coaches, all sports coaches, pro, amateur, whatever, should have some kind of mental health liaison on their staff if they don't already, to help them work through this stuff, because these are more and more prominent issues that, as you see professional players take breaks for their mental health, like Lane Johnson did, for example, Naomi Osaka, the tennis player, did. You know, these are not robots. These are human beings who have human emotions. And sometimes with the type of pressure that is on them academically and athletically, it is hard to sustain high-level performance if you are struggling bad. And I can connect with where Bryce is coming from on this one. Again, we don't know what Penn State's version is. We don't know what parts of this that they might refute. So all we know is this kid was struggling mentally and felt like he wasn't getting the support he needed. And I think from that standpoint, Penn State probably has to do better in this situation.
And you said earlier that be careful, don't just, before hearing the other side, just throw the Penn State coaching staff under the bus. I'll take the other take on it, in that this doesn't sound like James Franklin and James Franklin's coaching staff that preaches family. And you hear it from most all of the players. They talk about the family atmosphere and how the coaches react to them. So this does not sound like Penn State, and I hope that's not me coming off as a homer. So I'd like to hear a lot more than what we got from the young man. But most importantly, we hope that he is okay. All right, Dustin, that is it for quarter number one. Stick around for a whole lot more Penn State talk.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.